Church.
Whoa. We are live, yes, and in color. How are you all doing tonight? This is a nice, beautiful, man, has it been gorgeous hot weather? I'm going to take this off. I can do that, can't I? And it is just so good to be here tonight. So if you're a first-time guest of ours, it's welcome to Calvary Gospel Church. If you're visiting with us online, great to have you along with us. And we've got some announcements. We've got a busy weekend coming up. We have parking lot prayer, which will be Friday evening at 7 p.m. I don't know how many of you have enjoyed our parking lot prayer times, but we've just had some great times in the Lord out in the parking lot. And just a reminder, too, of all the young men and women that like to play basketball, that we have to refrain from playing basketball due to restrictions placed upon us by our county health examiner. So if you have a complaint, just send it to her. But so no basketball, unfortunately. And Saturday, we're going to have a work day here. Brother Brad Topp is organizing this, and we've got some projects we've got going on around the outside of the building. You just want to get everything in nice order as winter is going to be here before we know it. Can you believe it's almost Labor Day already? And here when we hit Labor Day, we'll be closer to Christmas than Memorial Day. But so we'll be working outside, and Brother Brad Topp, they'll be planning. Just go ahead. You can tag in with him starting at 8 a.m. And then Sunday, we have we have our new youth leadership team, and there'll be youth-led services on Sunday, so we're excited about that. And also, we'll have our final She's for Christ offering, and that will be taken it'll be this Sunday as well, August 30th. So we're excited about what God is doing. If we could all just stand here, it's just really been kind of heavy. It's hard not to read in the news and such all the different things that are going on around us in our world, and not just in our world, but also what's going on just within our own state. In Kenosha, another tragic shooting and rioting and such. We have a lot of folks that live in that area, Kenosha, Racine, Eau Claire. And before we get started tonight, I mean, we want to pray for this service, but we just want to pray that God would just be a peace would settle in. This world so desperately needs peace. But the problem is so many people, they don't know where to find it. And that's where it's our responsibility as Christians to introduce our world to the Prince of Peace. So let's pray for our brothers and sisters, the families in Kenosha, the people that are struggling and going through all of this social unrest. And let's also pray for this service tonight. Lord, we thank you, God, for being a God who cares. We thank you, Lord, for being a God who reaches down. God, you are such a personal God. I ask you, Lord, right now, God, to come down in the unrest that's going on in our world. There's so many people that are so searching. God, you are the answer. I pray, God, for Kenosha. Pray, Lord, for all of the unrest, the rioting. People, Lord, that have lost their lives already because of this. I ask you, God, that you would bring peace to this terrible, mixed up, turmoil mess. I pray, God, that you would continue, Lord God, to move across this earth. Lord, you're so seeking to seek and to save those that are lost. And I pray, God, that your hand would be upon us. Lord, I pray also for this service tonight. I ask you, Lord, that you would touch each and every individual that's here, whatever the needs are, whether they're in person or whether they're watching online. I pray, God, that whatever the household, whatever the families, whatever the individuals need, God, you are a God that will supply those needs. I pray, God, for our worship, that we would open up our heart, open up our minds. Lord, I ask you, Lord, that hand would be upon Brother Seidel tonight as he brings forth the word of the Lord. We love you, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity to worship you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you. You can continue to stand or you can be seated if you would like as Sister Fiona leads us off in worship. God bless you.
Took the keys from death and hell. mountains shake before you. The demons run and flee at the mention of your name, King of Majesty. There is no power in hell or any who can stand before the power and the presence of the great I am. The great
God. Let's lift our hands again. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. 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 One of the great blessings of preaching these days is you get to take your masks off. Of course, there are benefits to having a mask. You know if your breath is bad. And after lunch, you can savor the taste a little longer. Praise God. It's like Brother Grant always said, people have more fun than anybody. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to read verses 3 and 4. Hopefully you brushed your teeth before you came to church. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Amen. You may be seated. Glory to God. I'm so glad that I have the whole gospel. Amen. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ have been made available to all mankind. And I'm grateful for that. That's the good news. The good news is not just that Jesus died on the cross, but that he rose from the dead. Amen. And Paul said that the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the gospel. But of course, we have a response to the gospel, and that's what is important to the world today, is the need to respond appropriately to the good news. First of all, to accept, to recognize that God himself came wrapped in flesh and suffered and died for our sins. Amen. That's the gospel. But there's a need for us to respond as well. And Paul says here in Corinthians that the light of the glorious gospel, this revelation, this understanding does not somehow reach every soul. Even though they hear it with their ears, it does not reach their heart. Because it's hid to them. The God of this world has blinded their minds. It's available, the gospel is today. We preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, but many don't accept it. It is hidden. Not by God. I struggled with that passage for a long time because I thought, why would God hide? It's not hidden by God. The God of this world, the enemy of our souls, has blinded the eyes of those who cannot receive it. Through sin, through carnality, through worldliness. Amen. A number of years ago, when I still worked in the glorious trade of drywall, I worked for a company called Waltech that was actually Brother Thomas's company. I did drywall finishing, and for a while we worked on the expansion of St. Mary's, the hospital, St. Mary's Hospital. And our break room for a time was in a corner office that was not finished yet. Concrete floor, the walls weren't covered yet, and it was kind of open in the ceiling, except, you know, there was nothing there but the metal of the ceiling. And we would go in there for our lunchtime and our break time and sit in that room, and every trade kind of staked out an area, and that's where they gathered during lunchtime. And just so happened that in this corner room, there were two walls were glass, where you could see outside, and it was kind of nice after being inside the building all day to be able to sit in a room with windows. Evidently, there was a sparrow that thought the same thing because he decided he was going to go into that room. The problem was that when he got into the room, he couldn't get out. He was trapped in this corner room, and he was certain that he could get out through those windows. And sometimes while we were sitting there eating our lunch, that poor bird was bouncing off the window trying to get out. And we couldn't do anything to help it. And fly around, bounce off the wall, sometimes bounce off the ceiling. But more often than not, it was trying to get through that window. It was trapped inside. Corner to corner, bashing against the walls. This bird did not understand its situation. Did not know what it was that was keeping it inside. It was trapped. He thought he could fly away. Kept trying to fly through the glass. Matthew 13:10 says, "And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing not, and hearing, they hear not. Seeing, they see not. Hearing, they hear not. Neither do they understand. Like that poor sparrow trying to get out of that room. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart, and here's the crux of the matter. The gospel is hid. This people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes. Blessed are my eyes. What great privilege we have. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. In your ears, for they hear. Verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. What great privilege. What a great honor. What a great blessing. What a great trust God has placed in the church. We have something that not only the people of this world want and need, the people of all the ages have sought for. We have it. We have received it. Praise God. Something happens when a person repents from their sin and is filled with God's Holy Spirit. Something changes in the very makeup of an individual. Something happens to our understanding. Something happens when we read the Word of God. Something happens when we worship Him that doesn't happen to everyone else. It's so hard to explain to someone who has never received the Holy Ghost. That's why I can be so certain about some things in this life that I had so many questions about before, because God has shown it to us. Not because of who I am, not because of what I've done, but because of who He is and because of what He has done. Praise God. Hallelujah. There's a clearer understanding of the world around us. When we're full of the Holy Ghost, when we're sensitive to God's Word and to His Spirit, we can deal with reality at a different level. Academia and the world of psychology and sociology, they operate and they teach that man is basically good. No, God is good. Man is corrupt. But we're all corrupt, so not one of us is any better than the other. But when we understand that we're born to sin. Now we're born in sin and shapen in iniquity, the scripture says. That doesn't mean I assume someone else's sin who sinned before me. That means the day I'm born, my tendency, my nature is to go its own way and to resist the direction that God has for me. When I understand that, when I receive that revelation in the Holy Ghost, it explains a whole lot about the wickedness in the world. That doesn't mean I'm accepting of it or I'm pleased with it, but I understand the need that exists because I saw the need that existed in me. There's something, God gives us a clearer understanding. We see things differently when our sins are washed away and Jesus Christ takes residence up inside of us. The scripture says spiritual things are spiritually discerned. There are things that we understand just as a matter of everyday life that we take for granted sometimes. And that's why it's so hard sometimes when we talk to people we love and they don't get it. Why can't you see it? Because they haven't turned their eyes have been blinded by the God of this world. The Holy Spirit enables us, sometimes forces us to recognize some harsh realities about ourselves and about our world. When Cain sacrificed before God in a way that was unacceptable because he had certain guidelines that were given to him, but he chose to do it his own way. God warned him. God came to Cain, just like he does to every one of us, and he warned him. He said, Cain, sin is crouching at the door. It's just waiting to get a hold of you. You've given it a foothold in your life. It's waiting to drag you into a worse situation. And it's true of all of us. When we reject the will of God, when we reject the counsel of God's word, sin is crouching at the door. The God of this world wants to convince us that our sin is not the issue. It's not because I did anything wrong. It's not because my lifestyle is unacceptable. It's not because my worship isn't sincere. It's Abel's fault. He's privileged. He's got an advantage that I don't have. Mom and Dad favor him. It's not my fault. It's somebody else's fault. Or maybe we think we're being treated unfairly. You know, God's rules are, no one can live that way. It's old school. It's not realistic to expect someone to live a holy life. That's crazy. Look at the world around us. God's not fair. God's rules are unrealistic. The church is preaching. It's not fair what they expect of us. It's not reasonable. That's not because I've got something in my heart. I'm basically good. I'm a good person. Cain struck out at his brother. He rejected God's counsel. He was blinded spiritually. Luke 18:9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. That's the danger. When we start to trust in ourselves, when we start to rely on our own righteousness, when we believe that we are basically good, is then we have the privilege, we take the opportunity to despise, I'm good, but that person's not quite so good. I'm righteous. If only this other guy would be more righteous like me. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. He didn't mention his own sin. He mentioned, I fast twice in the week, and I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. I tell you, Jesus said, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Which of the two was more religious? The Pharisee. We can get in a lot of trouble this way. The Pharisee was as religious as they come. That's why Jesus said you need to be more righteous than the righteousness of the Pharisees. But which of them was more spiritual? See, we measure spirituality by certain things, and I don't necessarily believe that God always measures them. I remember when I first got into church, I thought I was the most spiritual guy there. Because I was the one that was sat on the front row. And I danced every service. How come all those other people back there aren't doing what I'm doing? I could, you know, and there were Brother Grant told me, you know, you'd be good to spend time around Brother Manley. He's a spiritual man. I thought, I've never seen him dance in church. We measure spirituality sometimes by our own standards. Which was more spiritual? The publican knew he was a sinner. But he was more spiritual than the Pharisee because he could see. His spiritual eyes were open to his own situation. He was repenting. He was surrendering to God. Tell me which one was more spiritual. Not the religious guy. The Pharisee, his eyes were blinded. He was trapped in a room. He was flying into the window, spiritually speaking. He was so limited because he didn't recognize that there's a barrier here between me and God, and I'm not getting through it. It's like when the Lord and the church are trying to help somebody that's bound by sin. When you're trying to help someone you know that's trapped, that bird would not let anybody get near it. We tried. I tried once and I thought it's not going to work, but there were some guys that were convinced, you know, that they could save this bird, and they were doing everything they could. But that bird would not allow anyone to get close enough to help it. Some people reject the gospel because they think it's too restrictive, or they think they can never live that way, or they think that they have a better idea. The bird was fighting against the very thing that would set it free. Don't we do that sometimes? We fight against the Word of God. We fight against the Spirit of God. We fight against the family of God. We fight against the preaching of the Word because it makes us feel uncomfortable. I may not be able to fly out of here, but I'm still flying. Because if we admit that we're trapped by sin, we have to admit our need for help. I don't need that crutch. Well, in reality, if you're trapped by sin, you're already wounded. You're already broken. Yeah, you do need the crutch. You do need the Holy Ghost. You do need God to get you out of this trapped situation. They're wounded and broken inside, and they're slamming themselves against the wall of sin and the windows of addiction, trying to fly out on their own strength, and they're not able to do it. Like a sinner seeking freedom, that bird was flying against the window. I can see the light. I know it's there. That's the way some of us live our lives. Just one more step up the ladder. One more step. One more promotion. And I'll be where I need to be. Just if I move to this city, I can live free. I can achieve all my goals. I can reach all my desires. Just one, a better house, a bigger truck. But we keep flying into our own limitations. This pandemic is pressing in on us, so many of us. Not because of the virus itself. I'm not saying the virus is not a problem. But vast majority of us have not contracted the virus. So it's not the sickness, it's not the virus that's affecting us. It's our response to the virus. Our society is turning in on itself. But as a result, it's forcing us to recognize our own limitations. I'm having to examine, I'm having to look at myself and say, wow, I thought I had conquered that. But here it is. The pressure's on, and God's trying to show us that we can't fly through a glass window on our own strength. He's trying to show us we can't rely on the things of this world, the things that we rely on in our own strength. We need the body of Christ. We need the Word of God. We need prayer every day. We need our Bible every day. We need worship. Yes, we need a job. And my heart goes out. I'm telling you, I've been laid off. I know what it's like to wonder when I'm gonna work again. I know that feeling. But the job will not set you free. We need our health. I used to be able to jump high enough to touch my wrist on the rim of a basketball hoop. Now I'm lucky if I can jump high enough to get up the next step. My knees are achy and creaky. And my back is sore most of the time. I'm starting to feel like Glenn Rossing. Amen, he says. We need our health, but that won't set us free. We need shelter, we need food, we need comfort. All of these things, they seem to be threatened right now. But none of those things are the answer for what we need most. Jesus said, seek ye first. 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 Before anything else, first. Seek ye first. Seek first the kingdom of God. And all these things will be added unto you. All these things will be added unto you. Maybe not in the measure you want. Maybe not in the measure you desire. Maybe not to your greatest dreams. But he promises. Not just in that one place in Matthew, but throughout the scripture. God promises, if you will seek me first, I will meet your need. The commandment says, thou shalt not have any other God before me. That doesn't mean you can have another God after him. That just means that you should not have any other God but him. And we don't even realize it sometimes when we have shifted our allegiance and put our faith in other things. Well, I've got a master's degree now. I can trust in my education. I can trust in my intellect. I can trust in my abilities. No, trust in the Lord. Praise God. Have we been? Or are we still trusting in a worldview that entraps us? That convinces us we can fly out into the world, but in fact we're hitting a barrier that we just can't see. We're being forced to recognize our own faults, our own limitations. And imagine not having the Lord. For the billions that are experiencing this, they don't have Jesus. They don't have the family of God. They don't have the Word of God. And they're dealing with those same emotions, with blinded eyes, with deaf ears. They can't hear the answer. We have the answer. We have the answer. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. The negative emotions we're wrestling with force us to see our own need for something greater, for someone wiser, for something more powerful than what we have in our own abilities. Only Jesus can set us free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I said only Jesus can set us free. He that the Son has set free is free indeed. Amen. Some guys were leaving bread crusts or crumbs in the room for the birds to eat overnight. trying to, we can't get them out of here. We can't help it get out. So we'll leave something on here for them to eat while we're gone. Even like a bowl of water and stuff. Some of us, maybe someone online that's watching online, maybe someone here in the room, maybe me. Some of us have been getting by on breadcrumbs of religion. Breadcrumbs of philosophy. Breadcrumbs of a worldview that doesn't come out of the Bible. Amen. Hey, I don't believe that either Fox News or CNN has the answer. I don't believe Joe Biden or Donald Trump have the answer. I'm going to vote for one of them, but that's not my answer. Some of us have been getting by on breadcrumbs. All the while we're striving for the freedom that's promised by whatever it is we're trusting in. There's a little bit of light there and I'm going to fly towards it. Just going to church. Just talking the Christian talk. Just getting by from service to service. This isn't the life that Jesus called us to. That's not the life he died for. That's not the life he gave us his spirit to live. Praise God. John 10:10 says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. There's an enemy in this world. We can't see him, but he's on the move. He's on the attack. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. That doesn't mean we necessarily have every material thing that we want. But it means that when the whole world is in turmoil, there's a peace that passes all understanding. There's a strength that comes from the joy of the Lord. Righteousness, peace, and joy, the Bible says, in the Holy Ghost. That's why when David was in Sister Vernon, when David was in such bad straits, he encouraged himself in the Lord. He got back into the presence of God, where the righteousness, peace, and joy existed. Jesus is really the answer. Jesus really is the answer. Jesus really is the answer. Jesus really is the answer. If you're new to this kind of spirituality, if this doesn't register with what spirituality means to you, and I'm purposely avoiding the word religion, because you can pick a religion and they pretty much all do the same thing for you, but I'm talking about a spirituality based on the Word of God that flows from the throne of God by His Holy Spirit. You may ask, what does this mean? Jesus is the answer. We've heard that song. I heard that in Sunday school. Jesus is the answer. 2 Corinthians 13:5-6. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. And I'm reading from I think it's a New King James Version. Examine yourselves as to whether you're in the faith. Are you or aren't you?
Well, I'm baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, but are you in the faith? Are you living it? Is Jesus your answer? Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. But I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. God forbid. We have to examine ourselves in prayer. I know. We want to. If I've got a problem with bitterness, it's not the person I'm bitter towards that is the problem. It's my problem. I can examine him all day long, and that's not going to solve my problem. I have to examine myself. If I've got a problem with anger, I've tried to cut this phrase out of my vocabulary. He makes me so mad. No, he doesn't. You let yourself get mad. He didn't make you do anything. Examine yourselves in prayer in the light of God's word. And that's where a lot of people miss. Well, I'm praying. No, you're not. You're not praying in the Holy Ghost. You're not seeking God's word. You're not looking for answers from Jesus Christ. Have I put God first in my life? Have I been obedient to his word? These are the questions we have to ask ourselves. We have to examine, have I put God first? Am I being obedient? We have the human mind is an amazing thing, but the problem is it can fool itself, and we can convince ourselves that the exceptions that we're making are acceptable to God. But we have to examine the things that we're accepting in our lives and realize, is this obedience or not? Am I being obedient to God's word? Have I really repented? Now we know, us apostolics, that means asking Jesus to forgive me and making changes that God wants me to make. That's repentance. And how do I know what changes God wants me to make? I look in the word of God. Have I been baptized in Jesus' name according to his word? It amazes me sometimes when you visit and you find out there are people in apostolic churches that have been attending for years and have never been baptized in Jesus' name. Well, it's not because the UPCI says it, and it's not because Pastor Roy Grant says it, it's not because John Seidel says it, it's because the Word of God says they were baptized in Jesus' name. That's how I find the answer. In Jesus, I examine myself. I repent. I pray. I look into the word. I ask God to forgive me. I make commitments to change. I do what I can to obey God's word. I have my sins washed away. That's how I find the answer in Jesus. Am I filled with the Holy Spirit? How were they filled in the Bible? That's the question you have to ask. How were they? What happened when they were filled with the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts? Has that happened to me? Not only one time, but have I been filled today? Have I been renewed? Have I been refreshed? Am I full of the Spirit? Am I being led by the Holy Spirit? Romans says that they that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Am I making exceptions in my life to what God's word says? The worst that can get a hold of us is unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment. Am I making room for little white lies? Oh, that's business. You know, that's okay in business. Show me that in the word. Am I holding out on God? Am I holding out on my brother? Am I holding out on the family of God? These are questions that only I can answer for myself. I can't answer them for you. And only you can answer them for yourself. Am I holding out on the family of God? What does that mean? Well, if when I say that, there's something that pings in your spirit, you better find out what that means. Praise God. Isn't it fun to be in the house of God? My wife can attest that on the way here, I prayed out loud. I said, Lord, now I know I got a lot of things to work on, and I know I'm preaching about things that I'm going to have to answer to you for, so please help me to recognize how this applies to me as much as anybody else. So don't excuse yourself because you know something about me. Because I'm not excusing myself, and I know a few things about some of you, so. Amen. That's how I find the answer in Jesus. Jesus is the answer. That's a simple thing to say, and it's a catchphrase. But how do we find that answer? We go to God in prayer, and we surrender everything to Him, and we put Him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Praise God. I start there. We started out by reading about the God of this world blinding people's eyes. In the book of Revelation, the Lord sent a letter, and we can stand. The Lord sent a letter to each of the seven churches. Each of seven churches, there were more than that, but there were seven that He sent a letter to that were in existence at the time. Many people equate the church of Laodicea to the church of today. That's a theological argument that you can have for a long time, but the principles apply. Revelation 3:14 says, "And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." I believe I'm reading from the New King James Version again. "I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot." I could wish you were cold or hot. That's condemning right there in itself. Cruise control's good on the highway, but maybe not in your spiritual life. "So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing." You know, God can take it all away in an instant. Or, worse yet, He can allow the enemy to come and take it all away. "But you don't know that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked." Verse 18, "I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed." Praise God. I'm so glad that God is willing to provide an answer. When he shows us what's wrong, He gives us what's right. When He tells us where we lack, He provides. Praise God. "White garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Praise God. Is Jesus knocking on someone's heart tonight? Is Jesus knocking on your spirit? I want to give you the opportunity to come and pray at this time. Of course, we're going to keep social distance guidelines. But this is God calling us to examine ourselves. Not just because He wants us to be holy, which He does, but because the world needs the church to be ready to help them when they're looking for help. The world needs Christians that are full of the Holy Ghost, that have their sins washed away, that are wearing white garments given to them by Jesus Christ Himself. The world needs us. The world needs us because Jesus is the answer, and we're the ones who know Him. "I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says, not to the world, but to the churches. He's standing at the door of our hearts tonight. He wants to heal our eyes. He wants to give us fresh vision. He wants to set us free. He wants to get us out of the break room and out into the larger world so that we can show them the love of God, so they can see a soul set free. Praise God. Let's pray.
I surrender.